always fighting for 25 years. I turned shorter than GC James off the SSA of Champion of the World.
Mr. JP, how you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Oh, that's bad, by the way.
It's back. I know. And I loved it. I loved the first episode.
Same. I had to go back and watch the last season after I watched the first one. I was like, I don't remember how we got here.
I don't remember anything. Yeah, I need to go back and watch it too. But I loved it. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Because today our feature presentation will be upgrade.
Upgrade. Can I get an upgrade? Yeah. We've been talking about doing this movie forever. It's always been on the back burner, and I feel like we've tried to do it a handful of times, but then we thought about something else that was a little bit more pressing or whatever.
Yeah, because I have no attention span. Like, it's like, yeah. I saw something shiny over here. I was like, we should do that.
But I'm glad we're finally doing this movie, because this movie fucks.
Oh, it fucks so hard.
It's so good. It's one of those kind of sleeper movies that they made for fucking pennies and with not a lot of big names. It doesn't look like it at all. It looks fucking fantastic, which we'll talk about once we get into it. But it was just, man, yeah, you could tell this dude is so, so talented.
Yeah.
The director.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, incredible. He's made some good stuff outside of this as well, but... But of course, before we get into that, what have you been watching, reading, seeing, doing this week?
Oh man, Curb for sure. Watched the first episode of Curb. Did I talk about Godzilla Minus One on our last episode?
I've been wanting to watch that. I've heard really good things.
It's fucking incredible. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend it. See it in the theater while you can. I didn't realize that they released a black and white version. And so I unintentionally saw the black and white version, which was fucking incredible.
That's
too.
All that's showing that added a where I am now. Because I actually looked that up the other day and I was like, oh, wait. Oh, okay. Well, this is all that's out there, but still interesting.
Yeah. It's great. Highly, highly, highly recommend that. And then for something I've been reading that I've been really enjoying is your boy Chip Zdarsky has a new Batman run. I think it came out last year. It's called Batman the Knight, and like Knight spelled K-N-I-G-H-T, and it's Batman in his early time of training, like training
With the League of Shadows and.
So I'm really early on into it, and it's literally like him in France. He meets this older woman who's kind of like a cat burglar, and he meets her, and she's like showing him how to be like sneaky and stuff.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Really cool. Very it's cool. Awesome. I love it so far.
I'll have to write that down. I'm going to have to look into
that. I'm really digging that so far. And then, so much other random stuff too. I started reading Heat 2, the book.
There's
a book. Yeah. It came out in the last few months and it's great.
We still haven't done that movie, even though that's one of the greatest action scenes of all time at the end of it.
It is. Oh my God. It really is. And love it. God, I'm going to watch that again. I just watched it recently, but I want to watch it again. It's so good. Honestly, that's kind of it on my end that at least I can think about at the moment. What about you?
I finally started watching Slow Horses on Apple Plus.
Yeah, Gary my parents it's love so that good, show.
Man.
Okay.
It's so good.
I love him.
The newest season just came out. I haven't watched the newest one. I think the newest one is season 3. But I watched the first two. They're 40 to 50 minutes long, but they're only 6 episodes a season. So I ripped through the first two seasons in like a couple days. It's really, really good.
Okay. I'm going to watch it because Gary Oldman is one of my all-time favorite actors.
He's like, that would be I'm not an actor, obviously, but if I ever were, like, that would be a dream part because he's just... Like, you wouldn't have to do anything. You could just not shower for a week and not cut your hair for a couple months and just, like, and just be this grubby, grubby dude. It's so great.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that. My parents love it.
It's really good. I recommend that. I hadn't heard a lot of people talk about it, but it should probably be talked about more because it's fantastic.
Okay, nice.
What else? Masters of the Air.
Oh, so I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, so there's, at the time of recording, I believe there's 4 episodes out. I've seen the first 3. I like it a lot. I mean, it's, if for people who don't know, it's like, it's about the bomber crews during World War II. It's made by the same people who made Saving Private Ryan and The Pacific,
right.
You know, Spielberg and
Hanks
are executive producers on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. There's not a whole lot of names in it. Barry Keoghan is probably the only name I recognize. But
Austin Butler, who is Elvis.
Yeah. But it's really well done so far. I'm really enjoying it. I would recommend that. I wouldn't say the Pacific was kind of a tough watch because it was so horrific.
Yeah.
There's elements of that because like. And I think it's only going to get ramped up and keep being more of it because, I mean, the life expectancy of, like, pilots and the crews of these missions was, like, it was tiny, like, weeks.
Yeah. It's – I have a hot take. I started watching the first episode, and maybe I just wasn't in the right place or whatever, but I was kind of bored by it.
Up. Like, it takes a while before they get into the action. And I wanted to be in the right mindset for it too, but I made sure I was, and I think you do. Like, this is not a show you just like throw on and while you're on your phone, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to pay attention,
right?
It can get intense, but
I think I'm just comparing it in my mind. I'm comparing it to Band of Brothers, and Band of Brothers is so fucking good.
Yeah.
And it's one of my all-time favorite things.
The first couple episodes of Band of Brothers, there's like no real action. They're just all training and getting to know the characters, you know? Like, it's at Curry, and they're not even in the theater. Master of the Air gets into the war pretty quickly in comparison.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I feel like, with Band of Brothers, you're given, like, you know, at least an episode or two of them just training and getting ready.
Yeah, exactly. So it does kind of get to the action pretty quick with our, you know, limited attention span these days. But there's a lot of characters, and a lot of the time they're wearing, you know, their masks. It's hard to tell who's who. And like one of the main guys kind of looks like Barry Keoghan, especially when they have their mask on. They both have similar facial structures and eyes and eyebrows. That's really hard to. And then it doesn't help that the two main characters, one is nicknamed Buck and the other's nicknamed Bucky.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just wasn't in the right place for it. I want to give it another shot because I love World War II war movies, and I'll definitely give it another shot. Maybe I was just tired and just not.
Yeah, I mean that's a thing. Like I have to be in the right mindset. Like I still have an extra episode. That's one I went over. The premiere was 2 episodes, so I went over to my dad's, and we made wings in the air fryer to watch the first 2 episodes.
Ooh, God, I love some wings.
Yeah, so I recommend that. What else? I haven't watched a number of things. I'm looking forward to watching a few shows. One being Shogun on FX.
Yes, I don't even know what that's about or what's happening, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, starts in a couple weeks. Makes me really want to replay an amazing game called Ghost of Tsushima.
Yes,
game is so great. I played it a couple years ago. It's so much fun. It's like samurai. It's almost like Samurai Red Dead, because you got like it's open world and you got horse and like you're going around.
Yeah,
it's so much fun. It's a great game. But yeah, that series looks cool. I also really want to watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the Netflix.
I watched the first episode.
Or not Netflix, Amazon Prime.
Prime. Yeah, with, we watched the first episode.
I mean,
yeah. And Maya, I don't know how you say her last name, but she was on 15, which is so good. I don't know her name either,
but
yeah,
they're both very talented, obviously.
Yeah.
Was it good? What did you think of the first episode? I haven't seen any yet.
We watched the first two, and it's not what you expect, but in a good way. We really like it so far. It was kind of the same deal, kind of a slower build, but it's great. And then the first episode ends crazily. Nice. Like, what the fuck? Like, we were both on the edge of our seats. Like, holy shit, that just happened.
Oh, good. I've only heard good things so far. And here that is even better. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And also another Amazon Prime. I need to watch season two of Reacher. I really enjoyed the first one.
Oh, yeah. I'm so fucking behind. I think I watched the first two, and then I just got distracted with other shit.
Yeah, I just heard that at one point Reacher kicks a car and sets off the airbag on a guy. Yeah. And I was like, I'm in. Like, that should be the trailer. Like, that is the funniest, most ridiculous thing ever. But he's such a mountain of a man. Like, I'd believe it.
Oh, geez. Yeah, he's fucking walking around at like 240. Alan Richson.
Yeah, I want him to be the Eddie Brock. I've said this before. I want him to be the Eddie Brock of the MCU.
Oh, my God. He would be so good at that. Because
we have what's his name is, you know, the normal Venom. And he's great, but he's in the Sony universe. And then at the end of that Spider-Man movie, a little bit of the symbiote was left behind. So one would think that someone would have to take that up. Make him, because he's supposed to be like this brick shit house mountain of a man.
Yeah.
Also, he's a good actor.
he's great. Yeah. People have there's this fan casting of everyone wanting him to play Batman, the new DCU Batman, which I'm not really necessarily on board with that, to be completely honest.
That'd be okay. I'd rather see him as Venom. Like, I think Eddie Brock is like so just incredibly perfect. I think he'd be fine as Batman. I don't actually know who I'd want as, like, the Brave and the Bold Batman.
Mm-hmm. Jensen Ackles, who played Soldier Jensen Boy. Ackles.
Yeah.
Jensen Ackles. And he played Batman voice acting. So I think, I don't know. I think he's a great actor. I think he'd be great as Batman, but they'll probably cast somebody probably a lot younger, because it's not like he's an old guy, but he's in his 40s.
Right.
So they'll probably cast somebody younger, you know.
I'm all for an unknown. I kind of like an unknown, but like not a household name. Because when you get someone like that, I feel like you bring in baggage with what you're expecting.
Yeah.
Because you know too much about the person.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like to just kind of have like a clean slate on things, and it's just...
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, I mentioned Barry Keoghan before. He's the Joker in the Matt Reeves Batman movies.
Ooh, man.
And that's he's not necessarily an unknown, but not everyone. Like, he's not, you know, Tom Cruise. Like,
no.
You know,
he's going to be big.
Yeah, he's great.
He's on the precipice, of being fucking, like, crazy.
He just had a hot ones, and he's just, like, in, like, the singlet, you know?
wearing his little, like, undershirt, like, tank top, and because that's what I would be, too. I'd be sweating my ass off.
He's just, like, the Irish everyman. He's just, but he's also a fantastic actor. He was one of the best parts of The Eternals, which wasn't. But
I need to watch that still. It's fine. I still haven't seen it.
It's fine. Yeah. It should have probably been like a Disney Plus show. There's just too many characters. There's a whole lot of conversation. That's about it. You wanna do this?
Let's do it.
All right, let's get into our feature presentation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Upgrade from 2018, 88% from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes and 88% from the audience, directed by Lee Whannell, starring Logan Marshall Green as Gray Trace, Melanie Vallejo as Asha Trace, Benedict Hardy as Fisk, Betty Gabriel as Detective Cortez, Harrison Gilbertson as Aaron Keene, and Simon Madden as the voice of STEM.
basically a bunch of nobodies, which I love. I love that. The detective, she was in Get Out. I remembered her from that.
And then
Logan Marshall Green, he's, you know, Tom Hardy light. He's popped up in a bunch of shit.
And it's funny you said that because I feel like the Venom movie kind of wanted to be this with, like, the voice in his head.
Yeah.
But they did this right. And then Lee, well, I mean, he did Saw. And he was in it too. But he was, he directed Saw, right?
No, that was James Wan.
Oh, I think that's right. He wrote it. Saw. Yeah, you're right. He wrote it.
Yeah.
He wrote it. Yeah. And he wrote Invisible Man,
which
Insidious.
I think. Yeah. And he's doing a Wolfman movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which nice. I'm really fucking stoked about. Yeah. I just think he's such a great director, and a director that could do a lot with a little is somebody I'm really excited about. He could do this hard genre movie for.
Oh, wow. He wrote Saw 1, 2, 3. Yeah. He wrote the first three Saw movies apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was in the really first one. Talented. He was the Adam across from, Princess Bride.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm really excited to see. It's these dudes out of Australia. These other two. Yeah, they're. There's these two directors who came out ages ago, and they made this zombie movie for pennies, literally pennies, and it was awesome. And then they made a big movie. I think we've talked about doing it on the show. It's called Daybreakers, and it was a vampire movie with Ethan Hawke and Willem Dafoe and Sam Neill. That's Willem Dafoe is just awesome.
Like, he just looks like a vampire.
It's awesome. It's so good. We should do that movie at some point on this show.
Do that for Halloween. It's great. Special.
Ooh, yeah, baby. But yeah, I really love this movie just because it's kind of like a film noir-y. It's hard sci-fi.
Yeah, quick synopsis for anyone that's seen it. It's about a man whose wife is killed and he's made a quadriplegic during some sort of like attack. He gets a chip implanted into his spine to give him like it's supposed to just it's like an experimental procedure to give him use of his limbs again, but it basically gives him superpowers. And like superhuman abilities, and he uses those abilities to hunt down the people responsible for his wife's death.
So it's
like a revenge movie, but it has this other thing going on, and it's really, really, really good, man.
It's really good, and it kind of falls into that category of movies that we love on this show. It's you think it's one thing. And then it's another thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, some good twists into his. Oh, amazing twists. Really gory. Like, holy shit. There's some really brutal shit.
Action is. Oh, my God. Like.
Yeah.
Like, like his first fight scene, like when he gives Stem control, the way. And it does it throughout a couple different times when it changes from him in control and Stem in control. Like the way the camera moves. It's like it's not natural. Yeah. Like I don't really know how to describe it. It's like almost on like a pulley or something. Like and sometimes it's like spinning, but and like when it takes control, the way he reacts as an actor, it's like he's doing some sort of like downward facing dog yoga thing when the way he like rolls his back and his head and neck up like
it's crazy. I have some trivia bits about fantastic. That. It's and he just does such a great job too as an actor. Yeah, reacting in the moment, talking to himself without it sounding corny.
Yeah,
just
like he's horrified by things that are happening or surprised by them, but then his movements are so mechanical, like the way he's playing essentially two different characters, you know,
at the same time.
And it's man, he does such a great job. Like I don't know why we haven't seen him in more stuff because he's. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he's popped up in a bunch of random shit. He was wasn't he in the Spider-Man movie? Wasn't he one of the Shockers? He was like A Shocker, oh, I believe. I think
he was, yeah, he was the first one that got disintegrated.
Yeah.
Before, what's his name? Bokeem took over.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's a great scene where Michael Keaton picks up the gun and fries him. And he's like, I thought that was the anti-gravity gun. He's like, no, that's over there. He's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's funny, you and I have been talking about this a lot, especially it came up in our group thread about technology and where it could go.
Yeah, that's why I asked it before we came on.
Yeah. This movie takes place in, I believe in my trivia, it said it takes place in like 2046 or something, somewhere around there.
They did such a good job of making it the future, but still like grubby and gross like reality. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like a bunch of, like, everyone's wearing matching single tone body suits living in a giant Apple store. Right. It's.
Yeah. You know,
It's like the real world. It's just very believable sci-fi elements. Cause I mean,
yes.
Sci-fi has become a little perverted, like, in where it's just like you just make weird shit to make weird shit, which is fine. Yeah. But it's supposed to be rooted in reality of like, this could actually happen.
Like Black Mirror.
Yeah, and all of this could happen. Like, all the self-driving cars, I mean, we have that. The implant, like, we have that's we can get in that later, but that's a thing that's starting to happen, and AI and all that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And he, and another interesting element, I think it just shows great writing, too, is that he's a guy who's very anti-technology.
Yeah.
He doesn't like getting in his wife has a self-driving car.
Yeah, I mean, it starts off with him fixing up an old like Mustang or Shelby
muscle car
or something.
Yeah. And then when he gets paralyzed, he's literally relying on technology that he hated so much. Because he's paralyzed from the neck down, so
yeah,
he basically can voice control. Yeah, he voice controls all these like robots in his house that can make him smoothies. And it's just like, just the fact that they chose, oh, it can even make you a smoothie. Like,
yeah, that was like the selling point. It was like, that's not so bad. Like. He's just sitting there not able to move. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And then he tries to commit suicide
that sleep scene where he's like, sleep meds, and he keeps like, he's like, oh, it didn't work, and they keep doing it over and over. That's such a great scene. I mean, it's brutal. But.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, I feel like a lot of movies nowadays, and I know we've talked about this on the show before, but they could really hit you over the head with points that they're trying to make or things that they're trying to do. And there wasn't him just wallowing in sorrow or whatever. It was just him trying to live his life. And then all of a sudden he realizes, I don't want to fucking live this life anymore.
Yeah.
And he tries to kill himself, but not in a really crazy overt way. It's just,
yeah, he's using the tools he has at his disposal. Mm-hmm. Like, which also just shows his, and it's fucked up, but it's like his ingenuity, and like he is a smart, intelligent guy, and he's using what he has to, because like if you can't move your arms and legs, it's like how would you do something like that? Like,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Know?
And that's an interesting idea to begin with, but like this movie, I feel like it's saying something, but it's not really. If that makes sense. Like, it's not, I don't feel like it's saying that this type of technology is bad necessarily.
I don't think it is either.
You know?
I don't think so.
It's just kind of like, here's some shit. Like, you figure out how you feel about it. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Because this came out in, what, 2018. So this was before anybody was talking about AI. This was before anybody was talking about Neuralinks like Elon Musk is right now.
Yeah.
So I think it's just that kind of age old thing, like where technology is either good or it's bad. And in this movie, it was good and bad.
Yeah.
There, you know.
Saw the benefits of it where it's like, this guy could, even after this horrific incident, like, and he didn't have use of his limbs. Like, he could still, like, continue on because of technology, but then there's also the, like, there's this other underlying, like, horror element of, okay, but is he really in control? Like, you know, it's you know, and the dangers of AI.
Exactly.
And, like, I mean, we've been doing that forever with Terminator and all sorts of different movies out there.
Exactly.
But it's done so well. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's just done so well, and I feel like nobody really makes hard genre movies like this as much anymore, especially sci-fi. You know, there is hard genre movies, there is horror, there is action, there's, you know, superhero movies.
Like, yeah, it's kind of a superhero movie, it's kind of an action movie, it's kind of a horror movie, it's kind of a psychological thriller, it's kind of a revenge movie, like, it's a lot of different things, but it does them all well somehow.
So fucking talented. And did you ever see The Invisible Man, his other movie?
No, I heard it was really good, though.
Oh, man, you have got to watch that movie.
After Hollow Man, I was kind of like, I don't know.
I don't need to deal with invisible people anymore. Yeah. No, it was the last movie Haley and I saw before the pandemic, and it was, oh God, it's so good. Check it out. It's great. It's worth it.
This is the kind of movie I feel like should be taught. Like, this sounds absurd, but I feel like you should put this as like curriculum in film classes. So it's like,
yeah,
this is how you stretch a budget. This is how you make things feel bigger than your budget, you know, like, I felt this, I understood this world very quickly. Everything looked, it made sense. Like, it just, this whole thing was created. Like, I mean, it wasn't, I mean, I don't know what the budget was, but it wasn't big.
I mean, it's a Blumhouse movie. It was less than $10.
That's what I was thinking. It was around $8, sure. I thought, but I'm not 100% on that.
Yeah.
But like, you can, but it doesn't feel that way. Like, there, in no way are you like, all right, they had to cut, like, you know, this scene, like, should have been this, but they didn't have any money, so they, you know, they're not.
Yeah, right.
Like, everything just kind of, it just works. It's just like the how to stretch a dollar kind of thing. Like,
oh, of course.
Of creative people, like, you know, like, I have this amount, like, but I have this story to tell, and they fucking nailed it.
Estimated budget was $5 million.
Wow, that's fucking insane. Because you never, I know, dude. A lot of times in the future, movies that take place in the future, it's just like you can tell, you can, it feels like they're just in a room, you know, that isn't real. It's just clearly a soundstage with like cardboard and like plexiglass and stuff. But this never really felt that way. And it easily could have. It could have in so many different times.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just shot so well, and things were made to look futuristic, but like you said, not over the top. It was just, just the way the set was dressed, the art.
It's the reachable future, you know? It was like a future that we are going towards, and like they understood that. And and then the action scenes are tremendous too.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So well done. The practical effects from, you know, the fucking,
that first
the
kill, Glasgow, man.
Smile.
The first kill is oof.
Holy shit. Brutal. And the thing is that it's not wavered on. It's not like, oh my God, look at how gory and horrific this is. It's gory as hell, and it's horrific as hell, but he literally does it, and then it cuts
it's not
away.
Lingered
it's
on.
It's really fast.
It's not like, you know, like exploitation type, you know, like, murder porn kind of, you know, horror.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's numerous scenes that are horrific, but not the. But like we've talked about many times, like the things that happen, they should be horrific. I mean, he splits a guy's face open with a knife. That should be horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly. Oof, brutal.
I also love how one of like the main bad guys is just like a psychopathic Kip Dynamite from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, and I love how it's just a bunch of nobodies that made a great movie for pennies. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's hard nowadays because you see movies with people that you know and that are still great and they're awesome. But when it's a movie full of a bunch of nobodies, I feel like you can kind of get lost in a good way, kind of get lost in the movie a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, we were kind of talking about that with casting big names for, you know, just superhero characters. You can bring that baggage in of, like, I know this person. Like, I've seen them do this or that. And you bring that in, and there isn't a lot of that in this because, yeah, then most of the people, they're all really great, and they probably should be more famous than they are.
Right.
But
yeah, yep.
I mean, so here, I mean, here's the thing. A question. If you had the opportunity, because we talked about, I mean, this is a thing that's sort of happening with, you mentioned Elon Musk and the Neuralink. Like, they had their first patient recently, like in the last month or two. They haven't disclosed who it is, but they did implant something in someone's brain as like a test, like a human.
Yeah.
And they're testing on, like, people that are basically in a way in this situation where they, you know, maybe quadriplegic or have some sort of neurological disorder or disease or what have you, which is fantastic if we can fix stuff like that. Great. But
yeah, exactly.
But once we get past that, is this something, would you upgrade yourself?
Oh my God. My gut is telling me no, because I watch too many movies and I would just be scared of something like this happening, or it, like, even just not even somebody controlling me or anything, but like the idea of brain surgery itself is fucking terrifying to me, that somebody is going to drill into my skull or do something like that.
Well, have you had any surgery ever, like of any kind, or they put you under?
No.
Me either.
Yeah. So there's that aspect, but also the idea of what if it malfunctioned? What if it, I don't know, what if it caught on fire? What if it overheated? And I was just like, oh my God, I have a hot piece of, you know, metal or aluminum in my brain. Cause, you know, I've told you this before. I have a fucked up neck, and that makes me have migraines and stuff sometimes. So the idea but
this is something that maybe could alleviate that.
Oh man, so here's another fun fact for you. So my mom actually has a electronic device implanted in her body. It's called a neural stimulator, which she has the battery pack on her hip. She's literally like, here, you can feel it. Here's the battery pack. Wow. And then the stimulator stimulates the nerves that go into her head to prevent, crazy migraines. Granted, she still gets them sometimes, but now they don't use those devices. That. Yeah.
I mean, I've heard like pacemakers, they don't use those
devices anymore.
Like,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's, you bring up such a good point though, because if there was something that they could be like, hey, look, you could take this pill and never have migraines ever again. But then if somebody was like, hey, we could implant this little thing in your brain and you'll never have a headache or a neck ache ever again.
Yeah. I mean, because what's the difference between that and being like, here's a surgery that will alleviate your whatever affliction, your migraines forever.
Sure.
Let's say it's not a chip. Let's say it's just a surgery. Like, they snip, cut, whatever. But would you do that? But then would you have a problem with, instead of just a regular surgery of doing whatever the hell they're doing in there, they put, you know, a mechanical device in and that did.
Oh, that's so hard. And I think it's because my nerdy movie watcher brain, it's just, I would be so scared that something would happen. I think something would, you know, it'd get fucking hacked somehow, or it would just malfunction and they'd be like, well, JP, I'm sorry, your Neuralink is broken, it's down, it can't work anymore.
See,
so I literally would just have this, you know, technology in my brain that couldn't be used.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'd have to wait until I knew it worked. My biggest issue with it would be I just don't want to be put under for surgery.
Yeah, that's really scary because too.
There's a reason routine surgery is 99.9% like survivability, like, you know, just like taking your appendix out or cosmetic surgery. People die from a facelift, you know. It's because of the anesthesia that can kill you. That's what kills you. It's not the surgery.
Yeah.
It's the putting you under and it not going the way it's supposed to. That's why anesthesiologists for like 5 minutes of work get paid like six figures. Because that's the part that's going to kill you. And that, honestly, that would be the thing that would keep me from doing it. It's just being put under, because that could kill me in itself. And it has nothing to do with the rest of it. But if I didn't have to worry about that and I knew it worked, like it had been tested, whatever. Oh, yeah. Upgrade the shit out of me. make me a superhero. I mean, we talked about it. I plan on living long enough to have my brain downloaded into a computer or put into a robot or something. Like, let me live forever. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm of the ilk that when I go, I go.
I don't accept that.
It's like
I have too much to do. I don't want to.
Yeah,
dying stupid, and I don't accept it. It's dumb.
I'm also just oddly like romantic in the sense that it's like I think about Highlander, and when I thought about the Highlander, or whenever I think about any movie that has a somewhat immortal or very old person, I think all the people that they've ever known are dead.
Yeah, I look at it better them sad. Than me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, you look like we'll just put it in a different context, like San Junipero, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this the main point of that was the love story, but it's transferring your consciousness essentially into like a matrix like computer, you know, where you live in this this computerized world, and that's where the love story happens. But would you do something like that?
That's also, I mean, I feel like.
Because I wouldn't a second.
I mean, my in choice theory, was that would death be pretty cool.
Or that, be like, yeah.
I mean, that sounds pretty cool in the sense that you're just basically uploaded onto a computer and your consciousness is in a computer. You can go wherever you want, do whatever you want. And I feel like did they ever talk about in San Junipero if they wanted to just like check out, they could check out? Or were they just automatically just there forever?
I'm not sure. That's actually a really good question, because you'd think that would have to be like, because you see there's a bit of a, I mean, this is off topic, but in that there's a bit of a, like a nihilistic aspect of the way some people live there, you know, kind of like partying all the time. And it's just like there's a little bit of grimy and gross scrubbiness
to it. Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like nothing matters. So that's a whole other philosophical argument of like, if you can live forever, does anything fucking matter?
Yeah, that's that too. I mean, I don't know.
We're getting deep.
I didn't think we would get. I didn't think we'd get this deep today.
I think about this kind of stuff a lot. Another reason why I love this movie, because I am all for, like, I love technology. I understand there's risks, and every new technology can pose, you know, unforeseen consequences or risks or issues that you don't see from it. But I'm a big fan of progress. And
yeah, definitely.
I mean, just like something like coal mining, like we're move past that, but you know, you still have people being like, that's taking away jobs. It's like, well, yeah, it is, but like for the greater good kind of thing. And I feel like there's a lot of that with the genesis of technology, you know, like, yeah, it might screw up some parts of the way we live, but we adapt and we figure out new ways to make a living or do this or do that. Like we'll figure it out. We'll get there. But I don't ever want to stand in the way of progress.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, with technology being what it is, that's the kind of the way that we're going. People, you know, they're going to, I forget where it was, but people are talking about they're going to have an oasis like in Ready Player One. You know, that shit is going to happen in our lifetime, where people are just going to live their lives
online. I don't
know if
you've seen the newest Apple, like $3,500 VR.
That's the thing. That's the dope thing. It's fucking cool. Crazy. It's crazy. And
but that's the first step, you know.
That's the first step. Yeah, totally.
Which sucks, because I have too much, my equilibrium's not right. So when I do any type of VR video games, it makes me nauseated. So I need to like send my consciousness somewhere. I can't really enjoy the other. So I guess that's part of me just being selfish.
Yeah.
But back to the movie. All right. I mean,
back to the movie.
he gets revenge. I mean, he kills everybody. And I love, I mean, I guess we probably should say more of this, but we're spoiling, you know, everything. That's what we do here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, with Aaron, the like, Zuckerberg of it, you know, all.
Mm-hmm.
The one that thought it all up, and it turns out he was basically just a prisoner to his own creation. And, like, how...
Ugh,
and then
I mean,
and then it comes back, because the way that Gray ends up, he's basically in a San Junipero, like, a computer the rest of his life.
Yeah.
With his wife, he gets his wife back, and it's like, because he, like, wakes up in the hospital room, and she's okay, and it's like, oh, great, this is great. But really, Stem's just taking over his body, and because he needed to, it needed to break his brain to allow that to be acceptable.
Yep.
So now he's in control of Gray's physical form.
Which makes me think that this is also a film noir, because if you look at the classic kind of tropes of a film noir, you have the anti-hero, and, you know, he's trying to basically solve the crime. He has the people who help him, the cops, whatever. And then the movie ends on a really fucking awful, heartbreaking note.
Is it though? So here's the thing. Here's the question. He's happy. Does it matter it's not real? He thinks it's real. He gets to live the rest of his life with his wife, who is in reality dead. He doesn't know that he's in this fictional world. It's real to him. So, yeah, someone's controlling his body, but he has no knowledge of that. That's not anywhere in his head. He doesn't know anything about that. So he's still living the life he wants to live. So while it's fucked up, is that bad for him? It kind of seems like the best case scenario for him. Like, just because it's not real in the sense that you and I are real, it's real to him.
Yeah, it's awful for everybody else.
Yes.
but you're right, for him it's great. It's the best case scenario.
It seems like Stem didn't have to, like, how evil is Stem? Like, it really just wanted a physical form. And to get that, it took over a human being's body, but it gave them essentially their paradise, you know?
That's true.
To do so. Like, I mean, who knows what it ends up doing after that, but it really just wanted to be, quote unquote, real, you know? It wanted a physical form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe it takes over the world, or maybe it just wants to live its life. I don't know. I have no idea. Because you create an artificial intelligence, and then is that cruel to not allow it to grow and be, you know, seek another higher form of reality for itself?
It's like the end of Ex Machina, you know, where she goes out into the world.
Right.
So I
love that movie, by the way.
Oh,
it's one of my
fantastic
favorites.
It's so good.
I mean, that's interesting, because I don't fault her for doing what she did in that movie, although it sucks for Donald Gleason, because he's probably just going to die in Oscar Isaac's little bunker, because no one knows he's there.
Fucking starvation or dehydration or whatever.
So that sucks for him, but I guess that's to my point of, like, you create consciousness and essentially life, and so can you really call it evil or bad because it wants to exist? Like, that's human nature in itself.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
Do we, is it evil that we cut down trees and, like, to exist and eat animals and, like, the things we do every day in life? Is that evil, or is it just us trying to exist?
Yeah, that's true. I guess it depends on what Stem does next, because Stem did murder the detective in cold blood.
It did bad things, but it was to secure its own safety, because it couldn't allow that. The detective didn't do anything wrong. They were innocent. Right. But if they were allowed to walk out of there, Stem could not exist, you know?
Right.
So
yeah,
it's like
true.
Self in a weird, messed up way. It's self-defense. But we don't look at it that way, because it's a program, it's a computer, it's not a person. Mm-hmm. If a person did that, we might feel different, you know?
Interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
That's why this movie's great, because it doesn't tell you the answer. Because I don't think there is an answer. I mean, the filmmakers may have a thought of, like, what they think. I don't know, maybe. But I didn't get that, at least, from this. Like, it was just, you decide.
Yeah, you decide. And I think, yeah, that's tough. I think when I saw it for the first time, I thought, oh, fuck. But then I thought, what an amazing way to end it. Just not the safe way. He didn't do it the safe way.
Yeah. That was not, if they did this with like a focus group, that would have been the dial turned to I don't like repeatedly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they would have wanted it actually to be, to cut the last scene off where he's in the hospital room and waking up.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably where the people would have been like, oh, I want, this is a happy ending. It's good. But then they have that extra scene and it's like, yeah, that's, he's like in a mindscape prison-ish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, either way, this movie is fucking awesome and it's streaming on Max. Yeah. So go check this shit out. Is there any other points that you want to bring up before I say a few bits of trivia?
I think that's about it. I think we touched on everything. I mean,
I
didn't think I was going to have as much to say about this movie as I did. I hardly wrote down like any notes. I was just like, I like this movie. Like, it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
but as we started
and it
going,
makes you think.
yeah, like, I didn't write down most of the like notes for most of the things we got into. It just that's just where the conversation went. I hadn't even really thought
Same
about
here.
It as deep as this conversation.
Same here.
While watching it a couple times, like it's just like, oh wow, actually, there's so much going on here.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Why don't you hit us with some trivia?
Going on the point you said earlier, during the fight scenes, the camera often tracks Gray so that he remains in the middle of the frame.
Yeah,
according
that's
to director
it.
Lee, how do you say his name? Wanell?
Lee Wanell. Yeah, I believe.
Lee Wanell.
Pretty sure.
This was achieved by hiding a phone somewhere on actor Logan Marshall Green, which the cameras could then pair to and follow with as much accuracy as possible.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because he is, that's it. He's just center frame. Regardless of like the degrees of like the rest of the world.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like
so
I
cool.
love when he just like goes upright.
Like just like.
Yeah. It's just so robotic, but it's also weirdly human. It's just.
Yeah.
It's such a weird. I don't even want to say unsettling. It's just like it's almost a satisfying like.
Yes, thing. Like, definitely.
It's like the very, it's just so.
The choreography of it is just such an interesting choice.
So and great. And it's just, it's dynamic of going back and forth between being in control and not. And like, I just love, I mean, he's just like, his face, especially during the beginning, is like, it's so calm and relaxed, but his limbs are just doing these like crazy things. Like,
yeah. God, how do you do that as an
That's
actor?
That's what I was thinking.
You have this kind of like tension and fluidity in your body, but your face is doing something completely opposite.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
This had so many ways it could have been corny or stupid looking.
100%.
And it just didn't. Like, it
no,
just nailed,
not at all.
It nailed absolutely everything it was trying to do.
It really did. I couldn't agree more. It was just, yeah, so fucking well done. The film was originally titled STEM, which the website Movie Insider credits as a separate movie from Upgrade that Wanell will eventually make.
Oh, I mean, as perfect as this movie
so we'll
is,
see.
Like, as just this movie, yeah, that, I mean, I would want to see that. But that would also answer a lot of the questions that we've just talked about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd still like to see it because he's good. He's a talented filmmaker and like, I trust like, if he has a good idea, I'll watch it. And then you can also watch them. One as its own thing. You can just watch Upgrade as its own thing. It doesn't matter if there's a sequel possibly. And then you can also watch that as, yeah, I'm good with that. Cause as long as he's the one, the creative in charge,
yeah,
I'm good with it. I don't want anyone else to make a sequel.
Same,
you know.
Same. No. The company Cobalt is referenced throughout the film, a high-tech military prosthetics firm which employed Asha and provided several of the advanced upgrades used by the assassins, including optical implants. In Lee Wan-Nell's next film, The Invisible Man, Cobalt is the high-tech optics company founded by Cecilia's abusive ex, Adrian Griffin. Since the two films are set several decades apart, it's likely they're quietly set in a shared universe and that both iterations of Cobalt are the same company at different times.
That's cool. That's like your Universal Soldier and Blade Runner and Alien, you know?
Yeah,
I like that.
Oh shit!
Or like James Wan, where like all his movies kind of like take place in the same, even the Fast and Furious, you know?
Yeah.
I love that because I would absolutely do some. If I was a filmmaker, I would love to do something like that, where you just sort of like tenuously tie them together, and it's really just for you and like nerds who want to like really dive into stuff. But that's what we are, so I love that.
Of course,
I think it's great. I love it so much.
So good. In the first fight scene, after Stem takes over Gray's body, you can see Gray use his hand to turn his head in order to dodge a punch. This is because Stem only controls Gray's body below the implant in his neck, and therefore couldn't move Gray's head out of the way on its own.
Oh, that's so interesting. Because, yeah, until it becomes complete, because it was only designed to to fix his limb usage.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And
that's cool.
I don't have a body count, and there wasn't a ton of trivia, but I thought this was really interesting.
There weren't too many kills. Like, the ones were impactful, but there's probably, like, his wife, Fisk, the first guy, and then, like, the guy in the bathroom. A couple of those guys coming up. Oh, man, that shot when Fisk shoots him in the elevator.
Oh, shit.
That was Verhoeven-esque with the blood.
Oh, very. Oh, yeah, oh God.
Probably around like 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Upon quarantining Gray's mind into a fake reality and then executing Detective Cortez, Stem sucks its own finger to taste the blood and or soothe the wound, exactly like Gray did in the opening scene when he slightly injured himself, dropping the engine block back into his vehicle.
Yeah, so it's like, how much has Stem co-opted, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a question of you put AI in you and, like, how much is the computer, how much is still you, how much is...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Crazy. Oh, such a good movie. I fucking love this movie.
We had to skip last week recording. So I watched it last week and I watched it again. And I usually hate watching a movie again, like right after. I had no problem with this.
This movie,
I was kind of dreading it. I was like, oh, I hate doing that. And I couldn't remember things and I threw it on. I'm like, I'm good.
This might be one of the most kind of deep philosophical conversations I feel like we've had on our show.
I know it went a direction I was not intending, but I'm glad it did. I thought it was interesting. Same. To me anyways.
I loved it. This was great. Anything else you want to add?
That's about all I got. We didn't talk about this. What are we doing next week? What do we want to do? Let's do this real time.
Oh, real time. Okay. Oh my God. That's such a good question.
Not much. Madam Web comes out next week. I recently watched Beekeeper. Argyle's apparently not good, which sucks because I love Matthew Vaughn.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. I'm still probably going to go see it, but it's not. It didn't look great. When I saw the previews.
I
love Matthew Vaughn, so I wanted it to be good.
I love Matthew Vaughn, and it's got a lot of great people in it. It's got Sam Rockwell. It's got so many
Bryce
great
Dallas
people
Howard,
in it.
I haven't seen it, so I shouldn't shit on it, but I just heard it isn't great. I don't know. What was that? Madam Web comes out next week, so I don't know. We could do a... No, I don't know. I honestly don't even know. What are you thinking? What are you feeling?
Oh my God. I'm at a loss. We could just figure it out and then hop on the pod next week.
There's one I've been wanting to watch, but it's long. It's that RRR.
Oh, that's three. Yeah, that's like 3 hours long.
Yeah, but it is on Netflix. I know we're trying to, we decided we're going to try and do like streaming stuff, you know, to make things more accessible. We're going to pay also because we're both broke sons of bitches.
Yeah, seriously. What about, did you see the Blue Beetle?
Yeah. I did. I did not like it at all. It made me angry.
Okay, well, then let's we could do another Matthew Vaughn movie.
That's
we
kind of what I was thinking. You want to do like a, I mean, there's
what X-Men if we First did
Class. There's
what if we did X-Men First Class?
You could do that or The King's Man. That's not bad.
Let's see.
Have we done Kick? We've done Kick-Ass, right?
We've done Kick-Ass. Let's do, I feel like The King's Man is somewhere, streaming.
Yeah. I would somewhere actually like to see that again. It has one of the most preposterous post-credit scenes of all time.
It's not streaming currently. We'd have to pay for it.
That's too bad. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
Let's see.
You're right.
X-Men First Class. Have you seen The King's Man? I have not.
I don't want to tell you.
Or we could do, X-Men First Class.
Let's do X-Men First Class. Oh my god,
that's on Disney or Hulu.
Kingsman has a post-credit scene. This is the most preposterous, ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life, and it's incredible. I don't even know if the movie was that good, but the
post-credit. What is it? Tell me. Now you got to tell me.
It's like an Avengers like post-credit scene with Hitler.
Oh my god.
It's fucking unbelievable. It's just like, yeah, we got this guy. He's coming up. He's going to help us like be the evil people that you thought took care of, the Kingsmen took care of. And it's just like Hitler.
Unreal. Jesus Christ. It's
fucking unbelievable.
Okay. Yeah. I'll find it and I'll watch it.
Well, yeah, find that. Anyway, just find that on the. I'm sure it's on YouTube or something. I actually am gonna watch it because I only saw it in the theaters like a year or so ago when it came out. And I was just like, wait, what?
Oh Jesus Christ!
So funny. Yeah, X-Men First Class. That's probably my favorite X-Men movie. So, and that's on Disney Plus.
It's great.
So definitely, yeah, Hulu, that works. And that hits Matthew Vaughn and we have a new superhero. It's the, as we were talking about Australians that we like, I love the Weekly Planet, Mr. Sunday Movies. They call the Sony universe SPUM, the Sony Pictures universe of Marvel
movies. Yep, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
I think that's going to be really bad, but I probably still want to go see it.
Yeah. Oh, God. It looks really bad. But sounds great to me.
Perfect. We got a movie. We got this done, dusted. That's all I got. So why don't you hit us where you can find us?
You can find us at www.actionmoviebookclub.com. You can also find us on Instagram at actionmoviebc or actionmoviebookclub, or on the social platform formerly known as Twitter. You can find us at actionmoviebc. Hit us up on there if you have any questions, comments, concerns. Would you put a Neuralink in? Would you upgrade yourself? Let us know.
Love it. This was fun.
Oh, so much fun. This is great. I'm sure my dog is thoroughly annoyed with me for not paying attention to him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go take him for a walk.
Yeah, I should probably do the same. This was good.
This is great.
Yeah. So, you know, as we do, why don't you take us out?
Happy trails, Hans.
I didn't kill my wife!